This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين إله العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having gathered us here once again. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to surround us with the malaika and to cause His mercy and His sakina to descend upon us and to raise us with the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Ameen. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are indeed the most profound thing that a human being can learn in his life. Because what can be more profound than him getting to know the Maker, the one who created his body in its entirety, the systems of breathing, the systems of respiration, the systems of digestion, the systems of reproduction, that all work in conjunction with each other in order to make up this human being, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Indeed, we have created mankind in the best of postures. So this knowledge of learning the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will actually teach us who our Maker is in reality. Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this quality of rahmah within Him. It is present within Him. And Ar-Rahim refers to the action of having mercy upon others. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And indeed, He is most merciful with those who believe in Him. So, Ar-Rahman refers to the quality within, and Ar-Rahim refers to the action of Rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. He began Surah Al-Fatiha with this name, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The most merciful, the especially merciful. So, the surah that is known as the Ummul Qur'an, the mother of the Qur'an, began with Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. When Sulaiman alayhi salam had missed the hoopoe bird, and he was looking for this bird, then he said, it is missing, and if it does not come back, I am going to punish it. So the hoopoe bird comes back and it gives Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam the news. Inni wajadtu imra'atan tamlikuhum wa utiyat min kulli shay'in wa laha 'arshun 'azim. I found a woman who was ruling over some other people and she was given everything that could have been bestowed upon a person. And she had a huge kingdom, huge arsh. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he tells this hoopoe bird, because the hoopoe bird says that I found them worshipping the sun besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, being a nabi and a king as well, he tells this hoopoe bird, go out to these people and invite them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take this letter of mine. And this bird goes and says, Innahu min Sulaiman. It is from Sulaiman that I present you this letter. Wa innahu bismillah. And indeed it begins with the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The most merciful, the especially merciful. Imagine the effect that this had on the heart of the woman who is being told that you are worshipping the sun. They knew that they were worshipping the sun. And then she is being called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is this Allah? Who is this Allah? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. The most merciful, the especially merciful. Now compare that to the sun that they were worshipping. There is no comparison whatsoever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He granted Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam the wisdom to begin by explaining what Ar-Rahman, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, by Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Every surah that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down with, he began by Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the especially merciful. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in a hadith, Inna lillahi mi'ata rahmah. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 100 parts of rahmah. Anzala minha rahmatan wahidah bayna al-jinni wal-insi wal-baha'imi wal-hawam. He sent down one part of rahmah between the jinn and between the mankind and between the animals and between the vermin, the snakes and so on and so forth. فَهُمْ بِهَا يَتَرَحَمُونَ وَيَتَعَطَفُونَ. So it is with that one part of rahmah that all of the human beings and all of the animals and all of the jinn kind and all of the vermin, they have rahmah and they have feeling for each other. وَأَخَّرَ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ رَحْمَةً. And he kept behind with him 99 parts of rahmah. فَهُوَ بِهَا يَرْحَمُ بِهِ عِبَادَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So he will actually have rahmah on his servants with those 99 parts of rahmah on the day of Qiyamah. So that one part of rahmah is what you find a mother having rahmah upon her child with. That one part of rahmah is the rahmah that you find a person going out to save a child with, a child that is drowning perhaps, or someone who is in distress. That is the rahmah that we have amongst ourselves. Imagine the rahmah that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will have upon us on the day of Qiyamah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His name Ar-Rahman and with His name Ar-Rahim to grant us that rahmah. Ameen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once passed by a woman. And this was at the time of war or just after the time of war. And this woman was going around. There were some young children there. So the woman was going around and she would breastfeed these young children because they were hungry. So she would breastfeed them. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the companions that, do you see this woman? She is feeding the children of others with so much rahmah and so much mercy because she feels for them. Do you see her taking her own child and throwing her own child into the fire? So they said, La wallah. They said, no, most definitely not. She would not do that. Because she has so much rahmah on the rest of the children, what about her own children? There's no doubt that she will not do that so long as she can hold herself back and she can, so long as she can protect that child, she will protect it. So do you know what the profound words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are? He says, لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا وَاللَّهِ. Allah is more merciful with His servants than this mother to her child. So if we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with La ilaha illallah, having fulfilled this kalima, having fulfilled this shahada, then let us not doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be most merciful with us. We all know the story of the man who had so many scrolls. And these scrolls were all filled up with the sin of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one little card falls out. One little card of a good deed falls out. And what happens? He says, halaktu, I am destroyed. Because what will this little card be in comparison to the rest of these scrolls full of evil, full of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But what is the outcome of that hadith? This man, when that one card is taken and it is placed on the right scale, the right pan, and the bad and the evil that has been committed is placed on the left pan, then this one card will outweigh all of those evil deeds. Do you know what will be written on that card? La ilaha illallah. The day that that man uttered the shahada is the last moment that he did a good deed. After that, there were only evil and bad deeds. Yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the scales to tip in his favor such that he will enter into Jannah. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the quality that he has of rahmah. And we should always hope and pray for this rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next name that we will be discussing is Al-Hayy, the ever-living. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever-living. And he mentions this in Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Allah, the only one who is worthy of worship. Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum. The ever-living, the one who supports everything in existence. And he mentions this in an ayah that will give us profound and understanding of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever-living. He says, وَعَنَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّومِ. On the day of Qiyamah, the faces will be humbled before the ever-living, the one who supports everything in existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to the fact that we have died at this point. Yet He is ever-living. Our life is incomplete. Yet the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most complete. His life is preceded by life. And it is not... You never find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will die. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever-living. So his life is preceded by life and it is continued with life. So his life is perfect. Yet our lives are actually lacking because we have died or we will die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتِ. And have trust in the ever-living, the one who does not die. Why should we have trust in the ever-living? Why should we have trust in the ever-living? If a person were to trust on his brother or on his sister to bring him food every day, to bring him some sort of clothing perhaps when he needs it, then the day that that person dies, what will happen with that? It will come to an end. There is no longer any food. There is no longer any clothing. There is no longer any shelter. Why? Because that person whom he was leaning upon died. Yet when a person trusts in the ever-living, then he will never die. So no matter what happens on earth, that brother died, that sister died, the ever-living continues to provide for him. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves our tawakkul. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves our trust. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ. And have trust in the ever-living. الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتْ. The one who never dies. So if we want to trust in anyone, then let us place our trust in the ever-living. The one who will never let us down. The one who will always be there for us. The one who will always support us. And this is where we come to the third name of today, of today's talk, and that is Al-Qayyum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who exists on his own. He is not dependent on anything for him to exist. So the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order for us to understand, we can refer back to this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, كان الله, there was Allah, ولم يكن شيء, and there was nothing besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثم خلق الماء. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was on his own. He existed without anything else in existence. And then he created the water. ثم خلق العرش. Then he created the throne. ثم خلق القلم. Then he created the pen. ثم خلق اللوحة. Then he created the preserved tablet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed before any of this was created. Yet he existed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then created all of this that was dependent on him. Without him, they would not exist. But without all of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would exist and has existed. Because before there was anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala existed. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. You are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ghaniyun hamid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all independent, all praiseworthy. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds up the heavens and the earth so that they do not move, they do not sway. وَلَئِنْ زَالَتَا. And if they were to move, إِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ بَعْدِهِ. Nobody would be able to hold them in place after him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ. In fact, this ayah continues, وَلَئِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ بَعْدِهِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا. Indeed, he is most clement, most forgiving. Who would hold up the heavens if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to allow them to drop onto the earth? There would be nobody. And now, let us take a moment to look at the end of the ayah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends it, with إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most clement, most patient, and He is most forgiving. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala end this ayah with this ending? Because on earth, you will find human beings that will be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet is He is holding up the heaven that is above them. He is holding it up as a roof above them. Yet they continue to be disobedient to Him. They continue to harm Him in terms of the sins that they commit. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most patient with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving of their sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the extent of Him being Al-Qayyum. That no matter what His servants are doing, He holds that sky up for them. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will roll up the heavens in His right hand. And He will roll up the heavens and the earth in His right hand. And He will say, أَنَا الْمَلِكُ فَأَيْنَ مُلُوكُ الدُّنْيَا. I am the king, so where are the kings of the dunya? Where are the kings of the dunya today? They felt they had power. They felt they had authority. They felt that because of them, the people were living, the people were surviving. But it is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they are living, that they are surviving. So this is the extent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Qayyum. When it comes to the name of Al-Khaliq, Al-Khaliq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates from nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates from nothing something that has no previous similarity to. So, when a human being invents, when a human being makes something, then normally and usually they will copy that which already existed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we take a look at everything that the human being has created, the human being has made, then there is a similarity between that, or he actually tried to copy the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, the fly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, you can take that and say that the human beings understood flight from there. The birds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, human beings understood flight from there. And as a result, they created, or they made, they invented the aeroplane that flies in the sky. But who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get that example from in order to create that fly? Who did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get that example from in order to create that bird? Who taught Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nobody. And that is why the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is special. He creates with nothing in existence. And if we take a look at the creation of man, it is ultimately the bringing together of the parts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him and putting them together in order to have something. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا خَلْقُ اللَّهِ. This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mountains, the birds, the trees, the ocean, the land, the heavens, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَرُونِي مَاذَا خَلَقَ الَّذِينَ مِن دُونِهِ. So show me, what is it that those who are besides him have created? Show me what they have created. Do you really think there is any comparison? فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. So blessed and exalted is he who is the best of creators. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we did not create the heavens and the earth in vain. They were not made out of jest and out of jokes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them for a purpose. And that purpose is for us to recognize Him. And that is why He says, ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. That is the methodology and the thought process of those who have disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens? They see all of this has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet that leads them to the disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of mind do you have to be led to the disbelief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you see that which He has created? What kind of heart do you have that does not lead you to the Creator by seeing all of the creation? So the kuffar of Quraysh, they believed in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The part that says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything. They believed in it. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they would say Allah. But after that, they would go back and associate partners with that same being who made everything. This does not make sense to a believing heart. But this is the manner in which shaitan plays with human beings. So when we see the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it should lead us to understanding who the maker is. أَيُشْرِكُونَ مَا لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْئًا. Do they associate in partnership with him that which does not create anything? وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. And those things that they are associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, they are created in and of themselves. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, he says that we were in so much jahiliyyah. We were in so much jahiliyyah that we would actually make an idol. We would put it together with dates and then we would worship that idol. And when we became hungry, we would begin to eat the idol. So what kind of understanding do the disbelievers have in the Maker? All they have to do is to look into the creation and understand that All of creation points to the singularity and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and to grant us the ability to call out to Him with His beautiful names and to grant us the understanding of who He really is in reality. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.